Thanks for watching today at wildwoodchurch.com. Now here's today's message.
In case you don't know me, I'm Josh Pugsley. I'm the youth director here. And maybe some of you are tearing up a little bit every time I watch that video. It definitely gets me. And it is, it's this beautiful story that we just witnessed. It's very clear that Bill, the man from this film, from this video, loves his wife Glad, the way he gently cares for her, the way that he speaks about her. And it's really a story like this that is just so inspirational. You just watch it and you're inspired by his love. And the reason you're inspired is because, due in part because of its rarity. It really is a rare thing to see love like this. It's a type of love that if it was common, this video wouldn't have garnered millions and millions of views. People wouldn't have watched as much as they do, but it garnered so many views because it's different. It's a love that so many people desire too. It's pure, it's sacrificial. And unfortunately, in our world, we see something very different from this type of love. We see a transactional love, which is really no love at all. It's a type of love that falls apart the moment that someone feels like they're not receiving an equal amount of love that they should, or their fair share. It's a love that says, when I enjoy you and when I like you, I'll be around you, I'll be there for you, but the moment I begin to see issues, or the moment I begin to not enjoy you, or you cause me problems, I'm out. But true love is a love that never dissipates. It's a love that never disappears. It's just not gone one day. True love will not fail, and it will never, ever end. 1 Corinthians chapter 13, 7 through 8 says this: love bears all things, believes all things, hopes all things, endures all things. Love never ends. As for prophecies, they will pass away. As for tongues, they will cease. As for knowledge, it will pass away. We can all get on board with the love that never ends, right? That's why history is replete with love stories. And even in our modern times, right, there's 1,000 romantic films and movies and thousands of love songs. And once again, they reveal this deep desire that people have for a deep love. And if people really desire this, and people do, it seems so elusive to them, though. It's so elusive in our world because, you know, for every, like, happy love song, there's, like, 10 more that are just, oh, heartbreak, this is terrible, why did I, you've hurt me, things like that. And, you know, and divorce is such a regular part of our culture, even in the church. And if you take a trip on the internet, you all know from experience probably if you go visit certain social media sites or YouTube and you go through the comments, like the visceral hatred in some of the comment sections, you're just like, oh my goodness. It seems like these people would like murder each other if they were in the same room. If you watch the news, it's clear that there's a lot of cold-heartedness. I mean, we all see the problem. Everyone sees it. We can try and deny it at times. In fact, we try and deny it all the time because it's a hard truth that this is a pretty dark world and we have a major love problem. And what is the root cause of this problem? Well, Bill from the video, he points out what that root problem is. He made something very clear through his statements in the video. In fact, he said something super profound. He said that it wasn't the love from him that he gave to his wife. He said God put that love in his heart. God placed that love in his heart. He wasn't boasting in himself as if he had some great love and that he was a man of great strength and stature and saying that he did all this. Rather than giving glory to himself, he gave glory to God, who is the one who gave him that love to give to his wife. And so Bill's story is really a great testimony to the transformational love of God that completely regenerates our hearts and allows us to love like never before. Bill recognized one of the most fundamental truths about love that most people never realize, and it's found in 1 John chapter 4, verses 7 through 12. If you would, please go ahead and turn there with me. We're going to be spending most of the time there today. So 1 John chapter 4, verses 7 through 12. And it says, Beloved, let us love one another, for love is from God. And whoever loves has been born of God and knows God. Anyone who does not love does not know God, because God is love. In this, the love of God was made manifest among us, that God sent his only Son into the world, so that we might live through him. And this is love, not that we have loved God, but that he loved us and sent his Son to be the propitiation for our sins. Beloved, if God so loved us, we also ought to love one another. No one has ever seen God. If we love one another, God abides in us and his love is perfected in us. So first I want to focus on verses 7 and 8. This is where we find this fundamental truth about love. So let's read that again. Beloved, let us love one another, for love is from God. And whoever loves has been born of God and knows God. Anyone who does not love does not know God, because God is love. There it is. God is love. And therefore, love is from God. Now, you've probably, most of you who've been Christians for a while, you've probably heard the term, yeah, God is love. It's something you know. But maybe you haven't realized its implications. If God is love, and love is from God, the logic flows. That means God is the source of all love, and apart from him, there is absolutely no love. This doesn't mean that non-believers can't do loving things or have some form of love. They can because of what we call common grace. There's this doctrine of common grace where God has been gracious to all people, even the wicked, and he allows them to have good things even though they don't deserve it. One of those good things, one of those good gifts he gives to unbelievers is the gift to be able to love in some ways. But unbelievers, even though they can love because God has allowed them to, it is really always going to be hobbled. It's always going to be weak. Because although he's allowed them to do that, they're not connected to the source of love. That is him. And they have to create love in their own image. They have to make up love with their own ideas. And it always makes this huge mess. And they also, the world denies the source of love, God himself. So they're denying love. If you want to recharge your phone, you plug it into a source of power, a wall socket. If you want to get some water, you go to a faucet. If you want to go get gasoline, you have to go to the gas station. If you want love, you go to God. And the world does not go to God for love, and therefore they get it wrong over and over again. Your spouse is not the source. Your children, your job, all the good gifts that God gives you, those are not the source. Those things are good. Those things should point back to the source. Those things should remind us that God is love. He has been so good to us that he's given us all these wonderful gifts. And the next time that you look your loved one in the face and you look into their eyes, like, thank God for that person. But it should point you back to God, because he created that person. He put that person in your life. Like, how loving could he be to give us these great gifts? And then we reject him, then we neglect him and deny the source. All these good things that God has given us, all these wonderful gifts, all this love, but it's not the source. God is the source, and you'll never find a better love than God himself. God's very nature is love. It's who he is, it's what he does. Even when it seems like he's doing something unloving, we have to humble ourselves and recognize that we just can't fully comprehend God's plan. So if he does something and we don't get it, it seems unloving, we can't comprehend. But what it is it's loving. Because the law of non-contradiction says that something cannot be true and untrue at the same time, which means that God cannot be love and at the same time be unloving. You know, a common rejection about God's love that comes up that people will ask is, okay, how can God be so loving and send people to hell? And on the outset, it seems like a really tough question. And it can be. But it's so common that I do want to take a moment just to talk about it, because we can't really fully comprehend God's love until we talk about this issue that people have with God's love. So first, we need to understand how the Bible describes hell. In the Bible, hell is a place where evil sinners go forever to experience the wrath of God. It's a place of punishment for sins. Punishment is a part of our world. We get it. We see it. It's always been here. You know, when people commit a crime, they get punished. We've all heard stories of vile and wicked things that others do. And when we hear these stories, we often become angry with the injustice done towards the victims. But when we find out that the person who committed this evil has been brought to justice and is going to suffer punishment for their crimes, then we are really grateful about that. In fact, sometimes we can be happy about it. It pleases us that justice has been served. When we see bad guys find their end in movies, we cheer. So, if we're so used to punishment being a part of our world and seeing that happen, why does the situation change with God? Why can God not punish evil, but we cry out, he is evil for doing it? Can he just brush wickedness under the rug as if it's nothing? You know, if a judge in a trial were to let a murderer off scot-free, and it was proven like that he was clearly the guy, he's clearly guilty, that would be just completely unloving, completely unjust and evil. A good judge would not do that. Similarly, God is good, just, perfect, holy, loving, and he has to take care of sin. He has to deal with it. But the reason people don't think God is loving when he sends people to hell is because they don't recognize just how wicked they are in their own heart. But the Bible is quite clear that all of us were born into iniquity, and that each of us has chosen to rebel against our Creator, to spit on his creation and abuse his good gifts. And Romans 3 makes it clear that there's no one good, no, not one. We've all fallen short of the glory of God. We've all hated God with our lives. And maybe the world would deny that they're evil. They would say, well, I haven't done this, I haven't done that. I haven't murdered anybody. I haven't committed adultery. I'm a pretty good person. But the worst thing you can do, the most evil thing you can do, is to reject and hate God. You and I, we're no better than a murderer. We're no better than a child molester. And until you recognize that, until you take a deep look into your own heart and recognize that you're no better than anyone else, that you are wicked and you deserve hell, then you're not at a place of humility. You're not at a place of understanding God's love. Now, I deserve to be burning in hell right now. Each of us do. But God is so loving that we're not. And that's the bad news. We're really the bad guys. We're the ones who we should be cheering for when we get what we deserve. God is loving to send people to hell because it's the right thing to do. It's the good thing to do. He loves his glory and he loves his creation enough to protect it from our fallenness. Sounds pretty bad, right? And it is bad. And that's why it makes the good news that much better. Because it is bad news, guys. We have sin in our hearts that is deeper than we could ever imagine. Like an iceberg, we only see the tip, but underneath, so much more darkness than you ever could have imagined or comprehended. But God, he is good. 1 John 4:9-10 says, In this, the love of God was made manifest among us, that God sent his only Son into the world so that we might live through him. In this is love. Not that we have loved God, but that he loved us and sent his Son to be the propitiation for our sins. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord for his great love. If there's a better love story out there, there's not. There's no greater love story than this. God's love was made manifest. It was clearly shown by the sending of his Son to be the propitiation for our sins. And that word propitiation means that Jesus died to satisfy the wrath of God on our behalf, the wrath that we deserve in hell. Jesus took our sin upon himself, bore the weight of our punishment, and he sacrificed himself in order that we might be saved. No greater display of love than this. Even while we were God's enemies, even while we were haters of God, rebelling against him, he still died on our behalf. You know, this kind of love is really a far cry of how the world defines love. Like I stated earlier, the world's love is very transactional. It only wants to give if it receives. It's also a very me-centered love. It's about fulfilling our own selfish desires. It's about building ourselves up above and beyond others. We care more about ourselves than we care about others. It's very fickle love, too, because when it gets hard and things are difficult and the warm, fuzzy emotions are gone, you bail out on it. Or maybe you stick around, but you become embittered and hateful and resentful in your heart. That's the world's love. I see it all the time. I see it myself sometimes, too. But Jesus shows us a greater love. By his death on the cross, he shows us what real love looks like, that it's sacrificial, that it costs a lot. It's not something that comes easy or just happens. It takes intentional striving to love. True love says, I will love you even though you hate me, and I will die for you even though you're my enemy. Love can be extremely inconvenient. Oh man, how inconvenient it can be, if you're doing it right at least. If you're doing it right, it's going to be one of the hardest things that you can possibly pursue is to love, truly love. It's really a tall order to love like Christ, which is why you absolutely cannot do it. It's impossible for you to love like Christ in yourself. Without being connected to God, it's impossible. But Christ died on our behalf so he could connect us to the Father, the source of all love, so that we can love like Christ. You know, I'm really just a terrible I'm terrible at loving people apart from God, just so you're aware of this. Does that make me a wretch, chief of all sinners? Absolutely it does. You know, I can be a grossly selfish, self-centered, and prideful man. I don't define myself by that anymore, by those things. That's not who I am. I can be those things at times, but rather I define myself as a believer of Christ, as a child of God. I've been set free from my sin, praise the Lord, and I'm a new creation in Christ, but I'm still pretty messed up, guys. We're all really messed up because this side of heaven, even as Christians, the flesh still remains and we still battle against it. There's still this war taking place. And there are still times I act in ways that are not loving, that are self-centered, more often than I'd like to admit. And it's only because of Christ in me that I am able to love as well as I do. Just like Bill from our video, I love because God first loved me. And over the years, I've grown a lot in love. God has been gracious, my good Father. He's taken me by the hand and showed me how to love, because I don't know what that looks like apart from him. And just like when a child lingers in the presence of their parents, they begin to take on the characteristics of the parents. They watch closely to learn how to socialize, to learn how to act, to learn how to do things in certain situations. And, you know, parents who spend time investing in their children, they desire to pass on what's good for their child so that they can grow and succeed in life? Well, God is our true and best Father, and He is ready to lead each of us into deeper understanding of love. He is ready to help us and fill us with His love, and He desires us to be in His presence continually to find our strength in Him for all that we do. And when we allow Him to take us by the hand, in fact, it's not that we allow Him, He just takes us by the hand because He's a good Father. He just grabs our hand and says, hey, let me show you how to love. And when He does that, you begin to love like what we see in 1 Corinthians 13, 4 through 6, where it says, love is patient and kind. Love does not envy or boast. It is not arrogant or rude. It does not insist on its own way. It is not irritable or resentful. It does not rejoice at wrongdoing, but rejoices with the truth. That's tough. Patient, kind, envy, boasting, arrogant, rude. I mess up at these things quite a bit. But by God's grace, I'm growing in them. And you are too if you are a follower of God. So once again, Christ died because He loved us so much. He died to bring us back to God in order that we might be able to love like this. And He didn't just die so that we could have this love in ourselves. He did it so we could carry and share that love with others. He set us free in order that we might set others free. People in this broken and dark world, they desperately need to have a transformational encounter with the love of God. One in which they recognize the depth of their sins and their need for a loving Savior. And those of us who have called ourselves Christians, we've already had this encounter, and it's left a mark on us, and we're no longer who we used to be. We can look back on the past years and see, wow, look how far You've brought me, God, by Your grace. And where did our encounter start, though? Where did we first encounter God's love? I know where it was. It was with a person. Each one of us here had to have some encounter with someone, human being, to be shown the love of God. Whether it was a parent, a friend, a pastor, or anybody else, someone had to show us God's love in some way. God uses people, His people in this world, to love this world. That is His primary way. 1 John 4:11 through 12 says, beloved, if God so loved us, we also ought to love one another. No one has ever seen God. If we love one another, God abides in us and His love is perfected in us. When we love others with the love of God, God abides in us. No one has ever seen God, but they can experience God's love through us. Now that is a great thing that I cannot even begin to fathom. That God would allow us to carry His amazing love to others through our words and deeds. Christians, when we love, we bring the presence of God into people's lives because God abides in us. When we interact with people, it's not just us. It's the Holy Spirit and it's Christ in us. We have such an awesome potential of showing people Jesus with our life. When we love, there are so many opportunities waiting for us where we can bring this love into people's lives. But too often, we think about big things when we think about love. We think about building an orphanage or something like that, which is great. Let's love in big ways, absolutely. But real love usually plays out most clearly in the day-to-day small things that pile up over time into a mountain of love. There's a story of a couple that had been married for 15 years. When they'd begin having more arguments than usual, they wanted to make their marriage work and agreed on an idea that the wife had. For 1 month, they planned to drop a slip into a fault box. The box would be a place where they could provide or let the other person know about daily irritations. And so the wife was diligent in her efforts, So one of her slips was, oh, you left the jelly top off the jar. Put that in the fault box. Wet towels on the shower floor. Put that in the fault box. Dirty socks not in the hamper. We'll put that in the fault box. And on until the end of the month. And after dinner at the after dinner, they exchanged their boxes. They each had a box with the faults in them. And the husband went through his box, and he reflected on what he'd done wrong. And then the wife opened her box, and she began reading her faults, too. And she pulled out a slip, and it said, I love you. She pulls out another slip, says, I love you. She goes, pulls out another slip. I said, it says, I love you. And on it went. Love covers a multitude of sins. The wife was blessed with a clean slate instead of a record of wrongs. And you know, it was just a simple series of notes that the husband wrote. It's not like he spent hours planning this extravagant grand trip, although that'd be fine, right, wives? You'd like that. It's not that he did that, but he simply took a few moments to forgive his wife of whatever faults she may have had and just write, I love you. Sometimes it's a simple message in a box that is love. Sometimes it's a hug. Sometimes it could be helping someone with a job or making someone a meal. It might be something big, like taking care of a loved one for years who cannot take care of themselves. But big or small, when God's love is in our heart, we will begin to love others in ways we never could before. And it's always going to be costly. It's always going to take time, effort, and energy, money, health, and more. But the reward far outweighs whatever cost it is. Because if you are actually loving someone with the love of God, that must mean you are connected to the source, God Himself, which means you are being filled to overflowing with God's love. And that is the reward, that you could have God's love poured out into your heart and be close to Him and be in His presence. This is why the most loving people you will ever meet in this life are those who walk closest with God. A couple of men in this church have made a great impact on me. I've seen Christ in them because of their love. They've been extremely helpful to me ever since I moved here and became a part of Wildwood. They've served me on numerous occasions to help a new house owner who knows next to nothing about owning a house. Their hours of work that they put in on my behalf mean a whole lot to me. But what really gets me is the loving hug and smile that I receive from them each time I see them. I don't know about you, but for me, I'd rather be known for love than anything else. Forget abilities, forget skills, forget accolades and accomplishments. I want to be remembered for love. I don't care if people say I wasn't good at much. I don't care if people say I never did anything spectacular. If I'm known for love, that's the biggest win of all. 1 Corinthians 13, 1 through 3 says, if I speak in the tongues of men and of angels, but have not love, I am a noisy gong or a clanging cymbal. And if I have prophetic powers and understand all mysteries and all knowledge, and if I have faith as to remove mountains, but have not love, I am nothing. If I give away all I have, and if I deliver up my body to be burned, but have not love, I gain nothing. We can do a whole lot in this life, even things that are extremely significant in the eyes of the world. But if we don't have love, it means nothing. If we don't have love, we are nothing. You want to gain this love? Once again, Christ died that you might gain it. Romans 10:9 says, if you confess with your mouth that Jesus is Lord and believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you will be saved. And once you believe in Jesus, you will be transformed by the love of God. You will see his great love in his son, Jesus. You won't become like Bill overnight, though. It's going to take years for God to mold you, to shape you, to become more like his son, Jesus. But as you commit yourself to seeking the Lord in his word and prayer and alongside his church, you will begin to experience new heights of love. And I know for most of you brothers and sisters out there, you've seen that in your life, God teaching you his great love. It's going to be a journey of ups and downs, right? We're going to fall a lot, but God's always going to be there to lift us up. And you know what? We're not meant to muster up our own strength from within ourselves or muster up some sort of love in ourselves, right? Because once again, we know it's not there. You got nothing to muster up in yourself, guys. You got no love to give anybody. Rather, you set your eyes on God and his great love, and that's what motivates you. That's what inspires you to press on. His love. Your love is weak. Your love is poor. Your love cannot accomplish anything because it's not the true love that you find in God and God alone. The most genuine mark of a Christian is love. This mark reveals whether or not someone has been truly born again into the family of God. And once again, it doesn't mean that we won't make mistakes or at times be unloving. It just means that the general characteristic of a believer will be love. This is how we will be known. John 13:35 says, "By this all people will know that you are my disciples, if you have love for one another." As we think about love, though, there is a warning here in this passage today that we need to consider. If you've claimed the name of Christian and say you're a follower of Christ, but your life is not characterized by love, you might either be in a place where your heart is very hard and you're quenching the spirit, or you might be kidding yourself and you don't know God. 1 John 4, 7-8 says, "Beloved, let us love one another, for love is from God, and whoever loves has been born of God and knows God. Anyone who does not love does not know God, because God is love." If you know God, you will have love. If you do not know God, your life will be devoid of love. You'll be full of selfishness, hatred. You'll be living in a prison of your own sin, a prison of your own self-centeredness. You'll be in a pit of darkness, and the devil will have a foothold in your life. And your only hope is going to be to recognize that you need a great Savior. And that great Savior is Christ, who loved you enough to die in your place. You can accept him today, right now, if you recognize the sin in your heart, if you recognize that darkness, if you recognize that separation from love, you can accept Jesus today and be transformed. If you do see love in your life by the grace of God, you probably feel a little convicted today. It's pretty normal. You should feel convicted every day, really, because we always have room to grow, right? There's always a thousands of ways that we can grow in love and a thousands of ways that we fail in loving as we ought. So you're in good company because that's all of us in here. And, you know, I'm not going to tell you, we don't beat ourselves up for that lack of love, right? Once again, we confess that we're weak. We confess that we need God. We confess that he is the source of love. Pick ourselves up and we go back to him. We stop striving in our own strength to try and love people and try and do good works because we know none of that stuff comes from us. Just like Pastor Brian said last week when he mentioned John 15:5, "Abide in me and I in you. I am the vine, you are the branches. If you abide in me, you will bear much fruit. Apart from me, you can do nothing." You can do nothing apart from God. You can't love, you can't do good works. It's all a bunch of nonsense. You and I don't have to do it in our own strength. God is our good Father, and he's ready to fill us with his love. So brothers and sisters, as you consider this new year and all that God has in store for you, remember that above all else, God wants your goals and your plans to be fueled by love for Him and for others. And remember that everything you do without love is nothing, but everything you do with love is of eternal value. So as 1 Corinthians 16:14 says, let all you do be done in love. I want to end with a passage from Romans that reminds us of the great love God has for us. It's a passage like this that we're going to need to run to on a regular basis, especially when we feel like God's love is far from us. It's one of Satan's best tools to try to condemn us and try and make us think that God has forsaken us. But don't believe his lies. Your love may be weak, and I already said that it is, and mine is too. But God's love is strong, and he is always faithful. So hear with me Romans chapter 8, 31 through 39. What then shall we say to these things? If God is for us, who can be against us? He who did not spare his own son, but gave him up for us all, how will he not also with him graciously give us all things? Who shall bring any charge against God's elect? It is God who justifies. Who is to condemn? Christ is the one who died. More than that, who was raised, who is at the right hand of God, who indeed is interceding for us. Who shall separate us from the love of God, of Christ? Shall tribulation or distress or persecution or famine or nakedness or danger or sword? As it is written, for your sake we are being killed all the day long. We are regarded as sheep to be slaughtered. No, in all these things we are more than conquerors through him who loved us. For I'm sure that neither death nor life, nor angels, nor rulers, nor things present, nor things to come, nor powers, nor height, nor depth, nor anything else in all creation will be able to separate us from the love of God in Christ Jesus, our Lord. Amen. Lord God, we thank you for your truth. Thank you for your words. We thank you for your great love. What an amazing God you are. Lord, teach us more how to love like you. Forgive us of our sins. We thank you that you do not give up on us, and the good work that you started in us, you will finish. What a great mercy you've given us, Lord, to give us yourself. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen.
Hey, thanks so much for watching online. I hope that this message has inspired you to greater faith, has encouraged you, maybe convicted or challenged you. We're grateful to be able to provide this content to you online, live and on demand. If you haven't done so already, follow us on Instagram, like us on Facebook, subscribe to us on YouTube so that we can get this content right to you as soon as we upload it. But you know, we believe that as a follower of Jesus Christ, that you need the body of Christ. You need the local church. And so if you're in the Quad Cities, let me invite you to personally join us in person for our gatherings on Sundays at 9 a.m. and 10:40. If you're not in the Quad Cities, I want to encourage you to go find a local church that teaches the Bible, that serves the community, that loves Jesus, that gives grace. Well, hey, thanks again for watching, and we hope that you were blessed.